Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Welcome back to a Smart Garden show. And look who's here. Well, you can't see it. It's radio. But Julie Weisenhorn is back. Not only is Julie with us, but our friend John Trappi, our turf expert from the U of M, also with us. So lawn and garden talk indeed happens today. Julie and John, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. For once, my timing was right, John and Julie, with fertilizing. My fall fertilizing was done just before the rain fell.
So, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. And again, I want to ask you that. By the way, here's our phone number. It's also our text number for your lawn and garden question, 651-461-9226. I used to do it twice a year, fertilize spring and fall, but listening to you guys, I just do it in the fall now. Is that okay?
Yeah, it really just kind of depends upon what your lawn needs and, you know, kind of what your soil is like. But yeah, if you were to only fertilize once a year, I would do it basically right around now for much of Minnesota. Middle of September is ideal. If you're going to do it twice a year, you would want to do it now, and then in sometime mid to late May would be preferred.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm back to that next year. We'll see. What's going on with you, Julie, with you gardening? And I don't know. Can we talk about what's happening with you? the U, is that a secret?
No, it's not secretive. And I'm not going anywhere on the show.
You're
gonna
I'll
do
still
the show. Be back on the show. Yeah, I'm retiring from my extension position in 2 weeks, October 3rd. But I know. But I will still be on the show. So
good.
I'm filling in, probably doing it as a volunteer, I guess, now.
Well, that's all right, as long as we got you on the show.
Yeah, so people won't even notice.
No. Well, congratulations ahead of the game.
Thank
here.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. It's kind of exciting.
It is exciting, yeah. It is exciting. I'm still going to be volunteering out at the Foodscape with Laura and John and but now as a master gardener. I was a master gardener before I was a horticulture extension educator. So kind of going back to that.
That's all right.
So, yeah.
Excellent. All right, Julie and John, ready for questions here. In fact, it came in a few minutes before the show began. Here's one for John. Can you dormant seed in central Illinois? It has been nearly 5 weeks since we've received rain, not looking promising to get grass established this fall. What do you think about our listeners in central Illinois?
Yeah, you can do it really anywhere. It's just what I would probably do in that instance is I would wait and do it what is essentially a frost seeding. There's really no difference. Dormant seeding can be done any time from middle of November until until soil temperatures start to warm up above 40 degrees. So in your area in middle of Illinois, that might be early March or even maybe late February. But you really just want to try to take advantage of any of those freeze-thaw cycles in that early very early spring, late winter, any time between now and then, or between, excuse me, November and then it would be preferred.
All right, very good. Thanks for listening. Is it time to plant apple tree seeds? A listener is texting.
Well, apple trees, no, I don't think this is the time to plant them. Apple tree seeds will not come true to the apple that you took them from. So, for example, if you're eating a Honeycrisp apple, which are delicious, and you take a Honeycrisp seed, you're not going to get the exact same plant. What you need to do is actually take a cutting of a Honeycrisp tree, meaning a cutting from a branch from some of the younger growth, root it, and then graft it, plant it from that cutting and grow it in that respect. So you can try planting seeds, certainly, and they do. There are some, I think, John, maybe you can help me with this. You're an excellent propagator. That the apple seeds do need to go into a cold environment. Is that correct, John?
I am not entirely sure on apples.
Okay.
Generally speaking, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, they have to be treated with cold for a period of time and before they will germinate. So I think what I would do is probably start them in the winter. If you want to just plant them and see what happens, and then go ahead, they need to be treated with a cold. It's called stratification. They need to be treated with cold before they can actually germinate and grow. So we do have good information on apples in general, and that might be something to research a little bit more before you start planting your seeds.
Okay.
That's a long-winded explanation.
No, the reason I'm asking is I was about to, I think I get a different way of, I should pose this differently. I was talking about apples. I love Honeycrisp, but I was going to say I had my first kiss last week. It was, and I started laughing at myself.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's a great apple. I love Sweet
really
Tango,
good.
And of course I love Minnesota grown Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty good apple.
It's a really good apple.
Yeah.
One of my favorite apples is Frostbite.
Frost.
Which comes
no, I haven't
later.
Had that.
That's a smaller apple. It's got a really different taste from traditional apples, which is why I like it. More of a, I won't call it a tropical taste. I don't have one here to taste and describe, but it's a smaller apple and it's hardy to zone 3, I believe. So it's that hence its name, Frostbite.
I've tried that.
And if somebody wanted to try one of those, where might they find those?
Oh. Thank you for that.
Glad you are.
At the Apple House is open, which is on Highway 5 and County Road 13 out at the Arboretum. Excuse me. And they have different apples that are ready. They come at different times of the season. So you can call the Apple line. It's on the Arboretum webpage and ask them, find out what apples they are selling at this time. So I was there a couple, 2 weeks ago, and they were starting to sell the Sweet Tango, which is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Frostbite.
I think maybe I'll go out there this week.
It's really good.
I tell you what, let's do. I was going to, let me do this one because this text, because I think this may be a perfect candidate for the university website. Texter says, we just got done building a house. We need to finish grading the yard and install retaining walls. Is it too late to plant grass and other plants in the retaining wall tiers? And do you have any tips for what to plant in the tiers?
Do you want to take the lawn section there?
Sure. I'll do the grass first. I would actually hold off on seeding the lawn. If it's completely bare soil, obviously you'd want to seed it as soon as you can. But if it's, if they're still working on it and you have some time, you could always just wait to dormant seed. If you are going to dormant seed and you have bare soil, you're going to want to use some kind of erosion control or germination blanket just to hold the seeds in place over winter for when they germinate in the springtime.
All right. Very good. Julie and John, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Be right back on the other side. Julie Wisenhorn, John Trappi, Lawn and Garden Talk. Your questions at 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you're just joining us, Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions, specifically, of course, Julie, But joining John, joining Julie today gives you an added event because John is our turf expert here. So if you have any particular lawn questions, this is your day to ask John those very questions. You guys wanted to follow up on that last text, right?
Yes, yeah. So John answered the question about seeding the lawn, and which was terrific. And then the questioner also asked about plants for the raised beds that they're building.
Yes.
And these are landscaping beds, so these are like tiered beds built with landscape, probably landscape block, or it could be timbers also, or boulders. And I just wanted to refer them to the Plant Elements of Design plant selection tool. It's right on the it's the first thing that you come to when you come to the Yard and Garden page, right at the top of the page. This is a list of probably a database of about roughly 2,300 or so plants. And these are they have lots of great characteristics associated with each plant. So what you want to do is look at the conditions you have, you know, what kind of soil, how much space do you have for the plants? And that would just take some measuring. And then also what kind of light do you have, moisture, other restrictions like that. And then plug that into the database and along with the kind of plants that you're looking for. Are you looking for a tree? Are you looking for a shrub, herbaceous plants, edible plants, annuals? And you can come up with any and all plants when you click search that fit your criteria that you're looking for in plants. So it's a really good resource. It by no means has all the wingding plants that are out there. We have so many great cultivars and varieties of plants that are available, but it gets you started. And it also gets you thinking about the right way to choose plants. And that's matching plant growing requirements with the conditions that you have in your yard. So I would take a look at that. It's at extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden. Go to that section, and it's the very first thing at the top of the page under Features.
Okay. Dexter says, John, no pets in the house, but I have multiple brown spots around the yard. The rest of the yard looks to be in fantastic shape.
Well, if there are multiple brown spots, it could just be a lawn disease like dollar spot for this time of year that's pretty typical. For the most part, lawn diseases, unless they're really rapidly spreading across the lawn and you're seeing it die in front of your eyes, lawn diseases are typically something we just don't really manage for other than just maybe adjusting a few management practices. But for the most part, lawns are perfectly capable of just growing out of them, and it's your lawn's way of basically deciding which species or cultivars or varieties are growing best in that area.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't be too concerned unless they spread really aggressively, in which case you could go to Ask Extension or Ask a Master Gardener at the UMN website, include some photos, and we can help diagnose the problem from there.
Very good. Another lilac question, Julie. Look dead, now it's blooming. What gives?
Oh, my gosh. So lilacs have been having an awful lot of issues, and it has to do with the kind of weather that we've been having. So common lilacs in particular are subject to things like powdery mildew, very common on common lilacs, and on many other plants too. And the problem with common lilacs, though, is we often have leaf fungal issues, and this is leaf spot diseases that can spread and kill the leaves that we have. So they look terrible at this time of year. And the best way to fight that is to do good pruning practices. I think we tend to forget about our lilacs because we think we can only prune them 2 weeks after they bloom. Otherwise, we're pruning off all the flower buds. But you can actually prune lilacs throughout the growing season. So you can thin them out. You can also, to open up that canopy and increase the airflow, that helps to dry out those canopies, and it helps to relieve some of the issues with those fungal leaf spot diseases. The blooming has to do with something called remontancy, which means that the plant is under some kind of environmental stress, and it's pushing out new growth, new blooms at that point. It's a kind of like, I've got a bloom so I can continue my species. And that's it's actually something that's bred into plants like roses. We want them to keep reblooming, but this is somewhat unsettling because lilacs are spring blooming plants, And we've seen azaleas do this. We see lilacs do this. We see penstemon do this. I've seen aronia do this. We've seen it in lots of other plants too. It does not really affect next year's blooms because it's usually quite sparse. And it's just like, enjoy them for what they are right now. But that's a little bit about lilacs. We do have good information about the leaf spot diseases, the fungal leaf spot diseases on lilacs on our lilac page under trees and shrubs at extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden.
All right. What is the deal with the acorns? My goodness. So many acorns has changed the color of my mulch. Huge.
And that's a lot of acorns.
No, I'm serious. This is huge. And I know it happens every so often. I can't remember. Yeah. I know there's a word for it, you guys.
It's called mastine.
And
nature's way of ensuring the next generation of species make it beyond all of the squirrels and chipmunks and everything else.
Yeah, it's good for those guys. But what about our lawns? Is there a point where you better start raking?
I think it's more of a functional problem of you actually just walking on your lawn than anything else. But they're really not an issue. I wouldn't be too concerned about them. And, even in really heavy years like this, it's a lot like, tree leaf litter, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks as trees begin to drop their leaves. You really just want to mulch those, and we want to try to return as much of those nutrients back to the soil as possible. So, unless it's a severe, impedance to you or a hindrance to you actually using your lawn, I would just try to leave them there and, let them feed all of the soil insects and other, organisms that are relying on those oak species.
Right. Hey, John, can you use one of those? I've seen them at golf courses where they walk along to pick up golf balls, like on the driving range. Could you use one of those roller deals? They've got like, what does it look like? Can you use one of those to pick up acorns?
Yeah. Many garden centers actually sell nut or acorn pickers. So they're basically just like a little basket that you roll over the surface. The acorns go into it. So if that's something you're looking at, if that's something that you'd like to do, it's a much easier way than raking them and picking them up.
A garden center person years ago told me, they even sell big vacuums. They're expensive. They're vacuums that even pick up gravel. I said, that's what I need. To pick up some real massive thing. Anyway, we need to take a break. So hang on. I want to mention to Gene and Tim, who are on the phone, we're going to have a look at weather. We're going to come back. We're going to take your phone calls and more texts, too, here on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just tuning in, Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those particular lawn and garden questions. And we did promise Julie and John that Gene and Tom would be next up via the phone. Gene, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning, Julie. I have a follow-up lilac bush question. We have three really old, meaning like probably 50-year-old lilac bushes at my parents' home that just aren't looking real good, and I appreciate all of your information already. I'm wondering, do lilac bushes ever simply time out where they're simply done with their life expectancy?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jean. Plants do have life, life expectancies, and some of them are hundreds of years. Lilacs are actually very long-lived plants. They can live to be 100 years old, but I think that it could be that if year after year they just seem to be going downhill, maybe it's time to take them out and replace them with new varieties, new cultivars of lilacs, or a different kind of shrub entirely. So there is a life cycle to plants, and I think sometimes we're upset that they might be going, kind of the way of firewood, but sometimes that's just the life cycle of the plant, and also the conditions that they're growing in can shorten that life expectancy as well too. I'm not saying that about your parents' lilacs, but If the plants are planted in the incorrect conditions, if they have a lot of trouble, you know, maybe they're in really sandy soil and they dry out every year, that can also shorten plants' life cycles. That's why it's so important to match growing plant requirement, plants' growing requirements with the conditions in the site so that they can perform to their optimum. But yeah, they could just be going downhill at this point.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call. We promised Tim in the Champlain he'd be next. Thank you for waiting, Tim. What is your question?
Hey, good morning. Couple quick questions. This time of year, I start cutting my grass down. I use a spike-style aerator, not a plug. And is it okay to keep using it until fall, or should I just only do it a couple of times and leave it alone? Also, my neighbor has a cedar tree that sits about 8 feet above my privacy fence. It hangs over my end of my yard. I cannot get any grass to grow in that area. And those pretty new hostas that I'm seeing advertised, will they survive in Minnesota?
I'll go for the hosta one quick because that's an easy one. The most important thing is to look at what the zone is, the cold hardiness zone of the plant. If it's in the same zone that you're in, it should survive. But again, just like the previous question, they need to be in the right kinds of conditions. And you just want to read that information about the plants. Hostas are pretty tough. And just choose plants that are for your cold hardiness zone.
And as far as the aerator, you can aerate really at any time. One of the reasons why we don't necessarily recommend it too late in the year is that we want the lawn to be able to recover and not be stressed going into the winter. So you still have another couple of weeks to aerate if you'd like to do that. Now, I would recommend core aeration it sounds like you already have a spike aerator, and that's perfectly fine, but core aeration typically is much more effective at opening up those channels and doing what aeration is intended to do, is help with water infiltration and relieve soil compaction. But if you already have that, if you already own, just the solid tine aerator, that's perfectly fine. And you can really just do that at almost any time, quite frankly.
Okay. Before we get back to the phones again, let's grab a couple of text messages. This listener has a green ash tree that's being treated for emerald ash borer every other year. This last summer was the third time it was treated. Can I trim some low-hanging branches now, or should I wait until winter?
It's always a good rule of thumb to wait to winter, or wait until winter to do tree pruning. But in the case of the ash tree, yes, you can prune it now. But I really strongly recommend winter because, A, you can see everything better because there's no leaves on the tree, and you can really see where there are crossing branches or other issues. So that's my recommendation, is wait until winter to prune. If you have to prune now because of, you've got a branch that's crossing over a window or something that broke in a storm, you could do that now with ash.
Okay. Speaking of pruning, texter says, when and how should I prune endless summer hydrangeas?
Oh, endless summer. I know Mary talked about endless summer quite a bit, I think, last week. So endless summer bloom on both old wood, in other words, the branches that were grown last year, as well as new wood. That's one of the features of that plant. The trouble is that in Minnesota, it's kind of hard to get that to work. And so there are lots and lots of other hydrangeas that have come down the breeding cycle since the original endless summer. So they're really great plants too. And I think I'm going to go with what Mary said, and I would suggest not pruning your endless summer unless there's a branch that's kind of wanky looking, or if it's broken, or if it's been gnawed on by animals. And the reason for that is I think you have a better chance, provided the plant is in full sun, of really getting better bloom potential. So sometimes it's a little sketchy when you do cut down your endless summer that you're not going to get such robust bloom. And so leaving the plant intact as much as possible, I think, is a recommendation.
Okay. Take another phone call this morning. Karen calling in from Ramsey this morning. Karen, thanks for waiting. What is your question? Hi, Karen. Are you there, Karen?
Hello. Yes, I am. My question is about a locust tree that was taken down, and the stump had been taken out, and now through the yard, there are all these little locust plants starting up. I have taken out, I bet, over 100 of them, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, seedlings like that, sometimes they grow from the roots of the plant. Even though you ground out the stump, there are still living roots that are under the grass. Sometimes that happens. We call it suckering. But also there could be seeds from that plant. If it was and I'm guessing you mean a honey locust, if that plant produced pods and those pods have seeds in them and those seeds have dropped and worked their way into the soil, they could just be germinating. So if that's the case, there is an end to the issue after the seeds have all germinated. So you can just keep mowing them down. It sounds like you've been pulling a lot, which is great. But you can also, if you can get to them when they're really small, if you just mow them down, that should be getting rid of them. And rest of the seed will just break down.
All right. One for John here. My lawn was aerated Monday, and I overseeded Wednesday. When should I fertilize, and what type of fertilizer on this system?
So you could really fertilize at any time. Your seedlings would probably benefit a little bit more if you waited until around the first mowing. Depending upon growing conditions, that could be a couple of weeks. And in which case, I would plan on using a fertilizer that has both slow and quick release nitrogen sources. We do have a webpage on fertilizing lawns at umn.edu or extension.umn.edu. For some more details on what is a quick-release fertilizer, what is a slow-release fertilizer. Quite frankly, most fertilizer bags actually already have a little bit of quick and slow-release. Again, we do not recommend weed and feed products, but just look for those containers. Even, many times they're advertised or marketed this time of year as winterizer fertilizers or fall food. They're all very similar or identical. So it's just a branding thing. So I would just focus on looking for a fertilizer product that has nitrogen and no phosphorus and some potassium for this. That would be something like a 28-07, for example, or a 32-08. Those would all be great products to look for.
Okay. Julie, this texter, and then we'll go back to the phones, wants you to address raspberry pests, whitish-grayish powdery look on berries, tiny green insects, and ladybug-like beetles.
Oh, boy. I'm going to refer this person to our raspberry page because that is a whole show in itself. it is under our fruit section at Yard and Garden at extension.umn.edu. There's not only a good page on growing raspberries in Minnesota gardens, but also pest management. So I would take a look at that page. And then if you can't find your information on that by chance, there's something else going on, then you can always reach out to Ask Extension, and Master Gardeners are available to help answer your questions at that point. So that's also on our Extension Yard and Garden page.
All right. Let's take this phone call. Ken checking in from Blaine this morning. Ken, what is your question for Julie and John? Okay. You're not there, Ken. Ken's not there. All right, let's get back to this. We have nice grass in our backyard except for the 10x19 area that we laid sod down. We roughed up the thin grass, put some topsoil down before sodding. Well, the sod has like brown grass along with green grass. We're wondering what to do with that area.
Interesting. I would just try to be a little bit patient. I would just check to make sure and ensure that the sod itself is rooting down. You should be able to go and pull up on it. This texter didn't mention how long ago they had done this, but sod should really be rooting in really just a couple of days. Just make sure that it's properly watered and fertilized, because you really want to make sure that it gets established before this winter. And right now is the best time to do that, as we mentioned earlier on the program. So I would just continue to mow, fertilize. You know, if you once you confirm that it is rooted down correctly, and then just fertilize, or excuse me, mow and water as needed.
Okay. Before we take a break, we were talking about apples earlier, Julie and John.
Sure.
Listener wants to know, talking about apples, what apple's best for apple pie? Now, there's a question.
I think that's kind of a personal choice. But
you,
my
they
mom,
used to say, what, Granny Smith?
Yeah, but they're not hardy here.
Oh.
My mom is a diehard Harrelson fan for cooking apples, and I have to agree with her on that. Paula Red is another one that I think I've tried as well. But you can cook, I personally think you can use almost any apples for cooking, but some of them are better than others. They get that tart mixture when you're adding a lot of sugar in with them.
Okay.
So I'm a Harrelson fan for cooking apples.
Right.
I don't know, John, if you have an opinion. Favorite?
No, unfortunately not.
Just sided with some cinnamon ice cream, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
That'll be great. All right, hang on, Julie and John. We'll come back with more of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning. Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M. We are zeroing in, I guess, Julie and John, this is the season to talk about lawn care, because we have tons of questions about on that topic. But here's one that's not about grass seed. They want to know, this texter, what's your opinion on clover for your yard?
I think clover can be added as a form of adding diversity to your lawn. You know, we include it in a lot of bee lawn mixes because it provides a lot of benefits to native and non-native pollinators. So it can work very well with grass. Now, we don't typically recommend clover, or white clover is the clover species. Dutch white clover is what we recommend. We typically don't recommend that to be planted by itself. It just doesn't tend to do very well. It'll eventually just kind of fade out or get taken over by other plant species. But it's very easy to plant and overseed. You can do that as like a dormant seeding, for example, or you could really seed any time. One of the main concerns with that is actually seeding too much or too high of a rate. They really need 3 pounds per acre, or, you know, a quarter or a half a pound for a lawn would be certainly overdoing it for most lawns. So feel free to do that. It's a great way. It's going to limit your weed control options in the future, because many of the selective broadleaf herbicides that we use to control things like creeping Charlie, wild violets, or creeping bellflower, they would also affect the white clover. So, you know, once you kind of go down that path, you're kind of just going to have to accept a lot of the other plant species that are in your lawn. But it's certainly a great option for adding habitat for pollinators. And it also provides a little bit of free nitrogen for your lawn as well.
Very good. Julie, I haven't asked you this for a while. When are the Abiders playing next?
Well, thanks for asking. We are playing at Fall Harvest Orchard out in Montrose on October 4th. We start about 1 o'clock. I think we play 1 to 4. So, yeah, hope to see some of the listeners out there.
And again, you can you can remind us again next week, because you and John have agreed to come back next week. We forced you. All right, no, that's great. So, if we didn't get your questions answered this week, we'll have another shot at it next Saturday morning. So, Julie and John next week on the show as well. That's great. We seeded part of our backyard last spring, a texter says, and it did not come in that great. What type of seed can we do this fall to improve it?
Well, we have a webpage called Buying Grass Seed for Minnesota Lawns that will walk you through all of the things that you should look for when purchasing grass seed, as well as even some places where to buy quality seed. So as far as what you should try to seed in a lawn, I would just focus on what the growing conditions are and how the lawn is going to be used. So if it's a really shady lawn, typically the fine fescues are a are the best adapted for those conditions. Now, they're still going to need a couple of hours of direct sunlight at least each day. But if your lawn's going to get a little bit more traffic, or if it's a little bit more droughty conditions, let's say you have a sandier soil, the turf-type tall fescues are great. Regardless, we always recommend planting a mixture of multiple species. And we go into some details in that website. Again, the name is Buying Grass Seed for Minnesota Lawns from UMN Extension, where we go into all of, you know, what to look for, how to choose a mixture, and even where to find it.
Excellent.
It's actually right at the top of our webpage, too, under Features.
That's such a great resource. Check it out, extension.umn.edu. Julie, a texter wants to know about a white pine tree that has been very healthy all summer. Now all the needles, or a majority of the needles, are turning brown and falling off. Is that a result of maybe not enough water, or what other problems could it be?
Well, with white pine, they do drop a number of their needles, so it's a natural occurrence. I guess it's at what level is it defoliating, like completely? Is it completely turning brown, the whole tree, or is it just occasionally dropping some of its needles? Sometimes it looks a little scarier because we've had a lot of wind, too, and that can really blow those needles around. If you have any issues with a mature tree, especially, I love white pine, so I'm partial, but if you have any issues with trees, you want to reach out to a certified arborist and have them come and assess the tree. And you can find information on how to find an arborist on our website under Trees and Shrubs at extension.umn.edu.
Julie and John, here's a question we get often at this time of year especially. Can you mow your lawn at one height and then mow again at a lower height for winter? What's a good rule of thumb for winter mowing, if any?
There might actually be some advantages behind slightly lowering the height that you're mowing your lawn at as you get closer to the winter. I actually like to do it because I think it helps a little bit with mulching tree leaves, and it also helps with picking them up if you eventually have excessive tree leaf litter. Because as you lower the mowing height, you can actually reduce snow mold pressure, which is a disease, cool season disease that affects many lawn species. So lowering the height, but really not getting below 2 inches or so is preferred, because if you lower it too much or too fast, you may end up just having to mow more often, and it may actually even create opportunities for weed species to encroach, because a taller mown turf is going to be more drought tolerant. It's going to be more resistant to weeds, but from a management standpoint, there are some pretty good reasons for gradually lowering your height as you get closer to the winter.
Okay. Julie and John, we have about a minute to go. When is the best time, listener asks, to spread wildflower seeds?
It depends on the seeds that you're spreading. If they're Minnesota native seeds, you would want to spread those now. They need to go through the winter in order to germinate. So this is a great time to do that. Maybe wait. Actually, yeah, I'm gonna contradict myself. I'm just gonna say wait a little later. And John talked about dormant seeding, and you could also do that with those native seeds. I don't know, John, you do a ton of this, so maybe you have some better advice on this.
You got it. Just dormant seed it. So sometime after mid-November, right before a snowstorm, would be preferred.
And in the last 60 seconds, Julie, again, the Abiders will be playing when?
We'll be playing October 4th. It's a Saturday from 1 to 4 at Fall Harvest Orchard in Montrose, Minnesota.
And again, both you and John, you guys will be back with us next week, right?
Yep, wouldn't miss it.
And
looking forward to it.
Last time, we do too. It's a lot of fun. And for those that haven't tried it yet, I've got to recommend the university website. It's such an excellent resource. extension.umn.edu. You will find so much great information. In fact, I'm going to check some of that stuff out that you guys talked about this afternoon. Let's talk next week. What do you say?
Sounds good. See you then.
Sounds great.
Very good. Thanks, Julie. Thanks, John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.